You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice, and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to series two of What She Said. I'm so excited to be back and happy new year. In this week's episode, I'm kicking off with a returning guest, Monica Stott from The Travel Hack, who was the most popular episode of series one. We are diving into the topic of how to make money blogging and how to make money online. So it's a really, really good one if you are dipping your toes into wondering how on earth you're going to make a living. Maybe you're blogging part-time and you want to know how you can do it full-time. Monica's got some really awesome tips, and there's basically no kind of BS with her. Like, we'll tell you the hard things, and she gives it to us straight. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We just did a really fake hello because we've already been chatting. Thank you so much for agreeing to come back for this series. As I was just saying, yours was the most popular episode of series one. And if anyone wants to get to know you better, they can go to A3. I'll link to it in the show notes. But do you want to just briefly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your blogging journey for anyone who doesn't know who you are?
Yeah, so I'll keep this one short and just give like a brief overview. So I started blogging in 2009 because I wanted to be a travel journalist, and I went traveling, and I basically thought that starting a blog would be kind of like a good portfolio for me, really, for when I came home, and started applying for jobs. So that was it, really. That's how I started blogging. I then came home from traveling. I studied journalism. I worked for a travel startup as an assistant editor. And then I started working in social media management for a travel agent. Mm-hmm. It was about 4 or 5 years ago now I started travel blogging full time, and haven't looked back. It's been amazing.
So one of the questions I get asked a lot, and I see kind of popping up all over the place online, and is how do you actually make money travel blogging? And I always refer people to you because you're a really, really good example of someone who has actually, you're a full time travel blogger. And I think people think there's like secrets and shortcuts and all these kind of dark arts to travel blogging and how to do it full time.
Definitely. No, I agree. I think a lot of bloggers pretend that there's secrets to it as well, and that there's some kind of hidden thing that no one knows, and if you give me this and this and this, I'll tell you all the secrets. Yeah. But it's not really like that. It's not that easy, really, just to sort of share just like this hidden secret that people don't know about. It's basically just a lot of hard work. And I think as well, one thing that people quite often say is, oh, it's not about how many readers you have, it's about how engaged your readers are. And yeah, it is. It's obviously about having really engaged readers who follow everything you do and really enjoy your writing style, but it is about how many people are reading your blog. It is about having those high page views. I think people quite often sort of pretend that, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have too many followers, but it does.
I think that's a really, really good point, actually, because while we're not saying, or I don't want to speak for you, but I know you're not saying you need to have a set number. You need to have, like, the bar is 200,000 a month. If you've got like five people on your blog each month, and they're all commenting, that isn't valuable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think brands want to work with you, or advertiser, you know, whoever, want to work with you when they know you're reaching enough people to kind of justify the cost of working with you. And if they're going to pay you, say, £500 to work on something, they need to know they're going to get £500 worth of value back. Yeah. And it's hard to put to say what that value is.
It's a bit of a case by case, would you say?
depending on, because so to interject now, I have done Monica's course, the blogger course, and it's and we talked about it in quite a few of the episodes of series one, so you, if you're a fan of podcasts, you'll be familiar with it. It's so good. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. It's like a proper, it's a good course. It's not one of those follow this and this and your practical common sense advice.
Yeah, it's quite a chunky course. There's a lot
it
in
is,
there.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's no like quick secret. I've just kind of put everything in there that I know.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. It's so good. But one of the things that you talk about is offering value to anyone that you work with. So even though that's so simple and should be common sense, that was a bit of a game changer for me. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. So when I'm thinking about my rates, especially when it comes to people approaching you for a sponsor post or approaching you for a press trip or whatever, I don't have to feel bad if I know I'm offering them value. You don't have to feel like you're a blagger unless you're being cheeky a bit.
Well, yeah, and that's a really nice thing. When you know that what you're doing is providing value, it just makes you feel good about what you're doing, and it makes you feel like, yes, I should be here and I should be charging this amount, and I'm going to work really hard on this because I'm getting paid well for it, and I know that this is going to provide some value for the brand I'm working with.
To go back to, I'd really like to come back to this point a bit later and talk about the tips for working out how you're giving someone value. But to go back to how you can make money blogging, what would you say the main threads running all full-time travel bloggers' income?
I'd say it's working with brands is probably the big one for most people. But that's a hard one to say as well, though, because it can be anything. Yeah. It really can. It can be something really small, like recently, so some of the things I'm working on is I'm working with a tea company, so it's just kind of talking, it's brand awareness around their new tea. Mm-hmm. And that's just a tiny little thing, but then a bigger one could be like a huge holiday that I've just done with Jet2 Holidays. And working with brands can be anything tiny or anything huge, but I think that's the main one for bloggers. And it's one of those where once you've done it a few times, the ball starts rolling and you get offered more and more opportunities. But I just think that you have to, even with the tiny things, you have to treat it in exactly the same way as the big things, because you never know where they're going to lead. It could just start off as a one night stay in a local hotel. And then they might say, oh, well, can we do this, a bigger project next month? And oh, and the month after, can we do a bigger project? Oh, no, actually next year, can we do a huge project? So I think if you put everything into every single tiny project you do and make sure you do everything really well, it can lead to anything.
That's another really good tip and something that I've taken away. Like, I can literally say, and this is not going to be one big loving on your blogger course, but it might be, but since I've done
that.
I worked on two projects quite quickly after doing your course. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited because I was like, okay, I'm going to put into practice everything Monica's told me and everything I've learned. And on both occasions, I basically made the money back that I paid for the course, because I got testimonials for both of these people and they wanted to work with me again. That never happened before, because I think it's not like I did things half-assed, but I just, in a sense, I probably did. I definitely didn't do them as well as I could have done, and I didn't approach things with the confidence of, okay, this is my full-time job. Even though it's not my full, I didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I totally know what you mean. I think, though, I'm not saying that you did this, but I think there's sort of a feeling of when bloggers go on press trips, particularly feeling like it's their right to be there.
Yes.
And you know, they've been invited there, so they're the ones who should be looked after and should be treated well. When actually, kind of, it's the other way around. Like, when you're invited to do something, you should be like, oh, I'm going to give this everything. I'm going to give it 100%. But when you're on a press trip, you're there with the bloggers who are very much like, oh, I'm just going to do the bare minimum. Mm. Or, oh, I've only been asked for one Instagram post, so that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And yeah, that is all you need to do if that's all they've asked for. But people aren't going to want to work with you again if you're just doing the bare minimum.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it does seem really simple. And I think you're right. It is really easy. Just do what everybody else is doing and not see it. You know, the kind of way I approach things now is to be the swotty girl. To be the girl, I'm not there to make friends with people. I'm there to impress. the brand. Like I don't really care if other people think that I'm the loser going back to my hotel, work hard, whatever. You know, I haven't been in the situation yet where I've been working people who are doing the bare minimum, but
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in a way it makes me want to work harder.
Yeah.
When I see someone doing the bare minimum and I think, oh God, you're making yourself look awful. And it's funny because when I was at school and stuff, I was not the swotty girl at all. But I think it's just because I love what I do so much now. And actually, I'm rarely the one going to bed early, but I'm always the one up first working. And it just makes a difference. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, I think it does. And treating things like your profession.
Yeah,
You feel like you give yourself permission to, like you're a full-time blogger. I think just that shift in attitude. I mean, that's changed things completely. For the people, because there are a lot of people who listen to the podcast that aren't travel bloggers. So for people who don't work, because I'm quite guilty of always talking about the way that I've worked with brands previously of travel stuff, but the way I see some of my blog coaching clients work with brands is quite different. So things like Instagram posts and sponsored posts, I think, is probably quite a big one, especially when you're getting started. Do you have any tips for those types of brand collaboration?
Once again, I would just say, just 100% give it your all. Mm-hmm. And I'd also say as well, it's worth tagging on a little bit of extra budget to pay for something like a professional photographer, or to take into account that it might take you 2 days to write the sponsor post. Yeah. So back in the day when I was offered a sponsor post, because I come from a journalism background and a lot of my training for this, for the course I did and for journalism, was writing very quickly. Mm. So I'm really lucky now that I can write very quickly. Yeah. So if I'm writing a sponsor post, it can take me half an hour. So, you know, if someone says, oh, can you write me a sponsor post? I'll be like, yeah, no problem. I'll whack it out tonight. Just, you know, and I'll get it done. And in a way, it was kind of good because I could get a lot of work done very quickly, but it's not a good way of looking at it. So now when someone asks me to write a sponsor post, I don't just whack it out. I'll get back to them and come up with a plan. And sometimes it'll involve a whole weekend away. Sometimes it'll involve a couple of days work. And it's not about just writing something and getting their link in and just mentioning their brand. It's about like actually using that brand and writing about it in a really genuine, authentic way. And then producing content that's like the highest content I can possibly do. So sometimes that means having a professional photographer come with me and do something. Sometimes it means kind of like taking the family away for a whole weekend. It might mean working with other brands. So for example, say if I'm asked to do a sponsor post for a coat, I might then get in touch with a holiday company and be like, well, it would be best really if I reviewed this coat on holiday. There's no point just taking a picture in the back garden. Mm. And doing it properly. I think that's all it comes down to, just doing everything properly and thinking about your readers and what they're going to enjoy reading.
And in terms of, like, you know, that's a really good tip, like turn it into something much bigger that's going to be way more valuable.
Yeah.
But do you pass that cost on to the brand?
Yeah. So I put the fee up for sponsor posts. So I suppose you've got to be in a position really where they are prepared to pay that amount. But a lot of the time I found if I say, oh, here's a basic sponsor post, this is going to be simple, bog standard. And sometimes they do want that. But then I'll say, well, actually, if you pay just a couple of £100 more, it's going to be something bigger and it's going to be something more meaningful and it's going to be much more valuable. And most of the time they will go for the bigger package.
Yeah.
So as part of that, I usually need to add in a bit more social media. And obviously, if you're going to be getting a professional photographer to help you, you can get so many more Instagram shots out of that as well.
Yeah.
So you can provide a lot more content and make it more valuable for everyone.
It's kind of about selling it, isn't it? It's another thing that you chat about, is kind of always upselling. And that's something that I never thought to do before. So if for anyone out there who isn't on any press release lists or whatever, get yourself on them. And then when somebody comes to you with a bog standard press release, the majority of people do not reply to it, goes straight into the bin. A tip that you gave, which is really good, is to go back and perhaps upsell.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't come to this hotel open, but how about I, you know, or whatever, write about it, or
yeah, definitely
collaborate on something.
Yeah, press releases are the most undervalued thing that bloggers get, and it really annoys me when I see bloggers moaning, oh, I've had another press release. But like, this is really the only way a PR can get in touch with a lot of people in one go. They're not going to reach out to every single blogger individually and say, how would you like to work together? They just don't have the time. They don't have the resources. But if a couple of bloggers get back to them and say, actually, this is really interesting, I would really be interested in working together on something. You know, a lot of the time they do want to, because if they're sending out a press release, they want to promote something. And if you can help them promote it, then yeah, you're in for a winner.
But how do you get on these lists? Because I, you know, once you're on them, you're on them.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't really know. I feel like I'm on them all. I've got no idea. I think you can sign up to sort of media platforms.
Yeah. Gorkana.
Yeah.
Response Source and people like that is helpful. And I've said to clients in the past, if you know who the PR is behind a brand that you're working with, and often that's pretty defined.
Yeah.
Then just email them and say, please, can you add me to your mail?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it does feel like, happy to. Yeah, once you're on one list, you seem to end up on them all.
I think so. Yeah, I snowball out of control.
Yeah, I think it's all just about networking and getting out there, getting to events, you know, talking on Twitter, getting on Twitter lists. It's just about being really active and sociable.
Yeah.
And the sociable thing, I think it goes against a lot of bloggers' natures, because I think a lot of bloggers are quite introverted. Yeah. But yeah, you've got to get out there.
How do you do it when you're introverted? I'm terrible for networking. I'm not very good at it. I don't really love going. In fact, I pretty much hate going to events. I love it when I'm there, but it just goes against my natural
decision. Yeah.
But at the same time,
you've just got to go.
I live in London, so I'm very lucky that I have that opportunity.
Definitely. Yeah, well, that's how I kind of started. When I moved to London, I didn't have any money, so instead of going out, I used to go to networking events because there was free booze. But I'm not really a kind of traditional introvert, because I'm confident enough to go and chat to people. I actually really like that first moment when you first meet someone. I really like that. But I just find it exhausting if I do it all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I think you have to build in buffer time.
Yeah. Yeah. Quiet time.
But actually, yeah, networking has come up as a top tip for, for a lot of people said that. That's kind of game changed their blog.
Yeah.
One of the other ways that I think is quite a good, can be a really good way to make money is through affiliate links.
Definitely,
talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, well, it's something that it took me ages to start working on affiliates. I think the first time I kind of used affiliates, I earned about a penny in about 3 months, and I thought, God, what's the point in this? This is too much effort. But then I think it was a bit of a game changer. I've spoken about this before. I had a backpack review, and it wasn't even a particularly well-known backpack, but that must have meant I was probably the only blogger who'd written a review for this particular one. So it didn't get loads of traffic, but it led to a lot of sales on Amazon. So I was earning quite a decent amount through Amazon affiliates. And then that's when I thought, oh, I'm onto something here. And that's another thing about doing things properly. You know, like most bloggers are quite often sent products to review, and they think, oh, well, I don't need to write a full review. I'll just mention it somewhere. I'll put it on Instagram stories, whatever. It doesn't matter. And reviews aren't always the most interesting things to write. But if you write reviews, that's what can lead to affiliate sales. Because say if someone wants to buy something, let's say they've been researching a backpack for a while and they found the one, they think it's the one, but they just want a little bit of reassurance. They just want someone to tell them, yeah, that's the one you need to buy. So they'll Google it, they'll Google a review, they'll stumble across a blogger's review that says, yes, this is awesome. And then they'll think, oh yeah, okay, no, I definitely want to buy it. So you're basically just like the final step to sort of pushing someone in to buy it. And I'm not saying that you should give something a positive review if you didn't love it, but if you did genuinely love something, you can be kind of like that friend saying, yeah, this is good, I think you should get it. And you're the final step to buying it, so you should get the affiliate sale.
And people trust bloggers way more than they trust anything else. There's so many stats out there that say people trust bloggers. People trust their opinion.
Yeah, I think bloggers are kind of like, we're like the friends people don't have for sort of certain topics. So say if somebody is interested in beauty but doesn't really have any friends who can sort of either share that passion or are more knowledgeable than them, a blogger is like that friend that you really wish you had and could turn to for advice. We're not like a brand trying to sell something. We're normal human people. And I think that's, that's the tone that bloggers should try and keep. Just be that normal, friendly person.
Yeah. So in terms of, I earn pennies from Amazon Associates, but then I've signed up to loads of diffs as well. Skimlinks is great.
Yeah, and I 100% recommend Skimlinks if you're not really sure where to start. So Skimlinks is one where it basically turns any link you've got into an affiliate link, or almost any anyway. So any product you've ever mentioned, it will turn it into an affiliate. Mm-hmm. So the commission that you get is much lower than it would be if you'd signed up to an individual program. But it helps you understand what is selling through your blog and what's doing well. Yeah. So, for example, I have a lot of TripAdvisor links on my blog, and I had never ever thought to put those into affiliate links, but people are, they might read, say I've mentioned a restaurant and I've linked to the TripAdvisor thing, and then they might go through TripAdvisor and maybe book a tour or a hotel or book something through TripAdvisor, and then I get the commission on that.
TripAdvisor is a funny one as well, because I've had the same thing. I've got loads of random TripAdvisor links throughout the site, mm-hmm. and when I signed up to Skimlink, I made, I don't know, it was something like £2. Where's that? And that's come from TripAdvisor. That was so strange. But they're like a partner, so you get a slightly higher commission as well through, because a few partners on Skimlinks. There was another one where I saw that no one had actually clicked through it, so it was a bit upsetting. But it was like a 15% commission. I was like, oh,
amazing.
So I think the majority, it's a really low commission, but because it's every single external link on your site you can buy something through suddenly turns into an affiliate. It's great. Skimlinks is really, really great.
Yeah. And if you notice particular ones doing well, you can then sign up to the specific affiliate program to earn a higher commission. Yes.
That's such a good tip. I never thought of doing that.
Yeah. So I had it with BA as well. Like, I didn't think anyone would book BA flights after reading my blog. But I had someone once book, it was like about £6,000 worth of flights.
Yeah. That's the dream, isn't it? For people to buy flights.
Yeah. That's the absolute dream. And someone did it and used my Skimlinks link. Oh. So actually the commission I ended up getting wasn't that huge, but it was a decent amount.
Because it's such a high price point. It doesn't matter if the commission's quite low, like you're still going to get something decent.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like more niche things, like, is it ShopStyle?
Yes, ShopStyle's quite a good one for clothing. Mm. I think there's RewardStyle as well, which is similar. So they're all good ones. And the good thing about ShopStyle is you get paid on the click-throughs, not the actual purchases. You get extra for if someone purchases, but you do get a small amount for each click.
Yeah, that's great. If you've got packing list posts, I've got a stack of packing list posts that actually do really, really well. So stuff like that is, even if you're not doing a full-on review, you can, although doing those are great, you can go back and relevant posts or and put affiliates in. And I don't know if you feel this, but I feel like there's a bit of a, I don't know, snobbery about using affiliate. Like,
I don't know. I feel like normal readers don't care.
No.
Really don't care. But other bloggers do care.
Yes. And
I think we always say, like, you don't write for bloggers, you write for readers. Mm. So I think you've just got to think that. And I think it's quite handy as well if you've got a small group of friends that you trust who aren't bloggers, to be able to chat to them about your blog, because they'll give you such different advice and different thoughts on what your blogger friends will give you.
That's a really good tip. Yeah. That's a really good tip, actually. I never thought to do that.
Yeah. So my like normal friends who aren't bloggers have got no idea. They read blogs. But they've got no idea how it works. So yeah, the conversations I have with them are just completely different. And the things that worry me, they're like, what? I'd never even think of that. And they don't know about things like Instagram algorithms and things like that. They, you know, so the things that get us down as bloggers don't affect readers. Yeah. So there's no point kind of getting weighed down by it.
And actually, conversely, probably some of the things that maybe we don't think about could affect our normal reader user experience.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, that's worth thinking about as well. So yeah, so if you've got friends who aren't bloggers, definitely try and pin them down for a chat about your blog.
That's a really good idea, like a little focus group.
Yeah.
You can always bribe them with cake and tea.
Yeah. It's like, a fancy bottle of wine this Tuesday. I just want to chat to you about something.
Something that I've been thinking about doing, well, So I'm going to lead into, not very subtly, a chat about niche.
Okay.
Which I think I've become known for, like...
the anti-niche.
The anti-niche. I'm going to have to write about it soon because I think I do have a niche.
You definitely have a niche.
Everybody does, right? And yeah. It's so silly. I must stop talking about niche. Like, it's a terrible thing because, yes, well, you talk about it much better than I do. So something I've been thinking about is kind of honing the stuff that I write about for the people that want to read it and writing more of what people want to read, essentially, which is all coming down to my niche. And I was thinking about doing a reader survey.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's something you recommend.
Oh, yes.
How do you go about doing it? How do you literally, in terms of practically, what are the sort of questions you ask so that you don't get back a really, really broad answer? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So yeah, I 100% recommend doing a reader survey. And I think a lot of people are put off because they're scared not many people are going to answer it. But first of all, no one can see how many people are replying to it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But second of all, even if you only have 5 people respond, that's still really valuable, even if one's your mum and one's your dad. It's really valuable just to get an honest opinion. So I've always done mine through Google Forms, mm-hmm. just dead easy, dead simple. And my main tip would be to not, when you're asking a question, not allow people to give too many answers. Because I've done it before and I said, when you travel, what are you interested in? And I put a few things like family travel, cultural, food, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I left it open for people to tick as many boxes as they want. And everyone just ticked every single box. So I mean, that didn't help me because everyone's interested in food and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, that wasn't helpful. So you try and make sure that people just narrow things down to one thing. And I know obviously sometimes people are interested in lots of different things and that's fine. But it helps you focus a bit more when you know what their main interest is.
So would you start by kind of getting to know your site really, really well and then like dig into your Google Analytics and have a bit of an idea? Because at the moment, I've got a bit of an idea. I know what people like reading. I know what my top 10 posts are. I know what my top 10 commented posts are. And I really know my Instagram audience. So I feel like I can tailor my question towards like narrowing down what I already know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that is a good idea. I think you just have to be careful not to lead people into answering things. If you think they're a certain type of person, you can ask certain questions that make them answer in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think you've got to leave things quite open. I think the first one I ever did, I Googled something like blogger survey and I just found lots of other bloggers who'd done surveys before.
This is one of the things that I love about you as well, is that you, like, you really have a really good way of being like, this is it's kind of basically telling us the most simple thing that we should all know how to do. Like, I feel like we all really overcomplicate things. You just Googled blogger survey. I would never necessarily think to do that or tell people to do that.
Basically, my answer to anything you ever want to do or know, just Google it. I Google everything.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it's so simple. I feel like we can all like tie ourselves in knots about, oh, how should I do this or how should I do that? But what I've learned from your course is
just Google it.
Yeah. No, but it's not always down to just Google it. I promise you. It's not like a billion chapters. How do I do this? Just Google it.
No, it's like, I think, well, we said this before we started chatting properly here, that everything is much simpler. Basically, it's simple, but it's about putting a lot of time and effort into things. Everything, it's not rocket science. It's just about putting the effort in. It's not too difficult.
I think that is the main takeaway that everyone should have if they want to become a full-time blogger. Yeah, it's not rocket science, but at the same time, you have to work really hard.
Yeah.
If you can do that, then, and if you have like the oomph behind you to do that, then, but that, you know, not everyone will succeed, I guess.
It's
probably another thing to say.
I do think it comes down to the passion for it. I can tell when people sign up to the blogger course, I can tell straight away who has got the passion, who's actually going to put the hard work in and who's going to try and do the bare minimum and scrape by and think, oh, well, I need to write 3 blog posts a week. So I'll write really short blogs that won't take me long to write. And you think, well, that's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, just to tick off my task. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, yeah, it's just about that. But yeah, I 100% recommend doing a blogger survey. Find out what your reader's enjoying and find out more about them and the kind of person they are. When we come back to niche as well, I've said in the course, I don't think niche needs to be a particular topic. It doesn't need to be like fashion or beauty or travel or food. Your niche can be your reader. So say, you know, if your reader is a 30-year-old woman who's just got married and just bought a house, that's a really particular type of person.
Yeah.
Who probably will be interested in a bit of fashion and, you know, home design and travel and, you know, all these kind of things.
Yeah. That's another game changer as well, is thinking about your niche, your audience. You can get so specific, but you can still be writing about lots of different things as long as you're writing for that one personist.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because like as a travel blogger, it's quite hard because people aren't really interested in travel when they're not traveling or when they're not planning a holiday. So it's better really to think about what the type of traveller you want to target and think about what they do when they're not traveling.
And thinking about diversifying, because you've kind of led us quite neatly onto that. Diversify, I suppose, your topics and also diversifying your income as a blogger, because I think you do so many different things and you're always doing new things, like something that you mentioned the other day. You do so many different.
Yeah, well, I've just started with MediaVine as well, which is display advertising, which is something I never thought of doing because I just thought, I knew I could make a little bit of money from it, but I didn't think it was worth it for having adverts on the blog. So I don't really like adverts. No one likes adverts, do they?
Yeah.
But actually, if you've got high page views, you can earn a lot of money through it, like a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it is worth it.
And yeah, why shouldn't you earn a lot of money? And I think it's really important to not put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
For loads of different reasons. I don't think anyone should be making their money from just one thing because it puts too much pressure on you. And something that Lauren and I talked about was kind of the, especially with social media, you don't own anything on social media.
Yeah.
Someone else owns that. So it's really important that you don't become too entitled and spread your eggs over lots of buckets, as it were.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like the idea that if I wanted to, I could take a couple of months off and I would still have a passive income coming in. And that's a really nice feeling. I think when you work for yourself and you've got a young family and you know that at times you might end up having a week where you can't do any work. And it's nice knowing that actually you don't really need to panic, that you have got affiliate income and advertising income and other things coming in that mean that you don't need to worry.
So passive income, I feel like it was a really hot topic and everybody was writing about it. And I'm sure people still are. It's probably more that I was really interested in it.
I knew what you mean, actually. Feel like passive income was really big a few years ago and then everyone sort of forgot about it.
Yeah, but I think passive income is super important for exactly the reasons that you're saying. But to caveat that with, if you've got lower traffic, you can still make passive income.
Yeah.
But you have to think about it. There's lots of different ways.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about those, please?
Yeah. So again, it kind of, well, from my experience anyway, if you've got lower traffic, I would come back to the whole reviewing specific products and then getting people who are Googling reviews of that product coming to your blog. So these people aren't going to be your regular readers. They're not going to be the people who are super engaged with your brand, or they could be. You want them to end up being that, but you want to initially track them through a specific product review you've written.
Yeah.
And then if it ranks well in Google, then every single person who Googles a review for that product is going to find your blog and hopefully buy it through your affiliate link.
I mean, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's about being really specific.
Mm.
So one thing I mentioned in the course, this is a bit boring, but when I first moved into my house, we realized we had Japanese knotweed, which is a really like bad weed to have. So I Googled like how to get rid of Japanese knotweed. And I came across this guy's blog, and there were only like 4 posts on there about Japanese knotweed. And he recommended these products to buy. And obviously we bought it because he seemed to be an expert. And that's all he'd done. He'd just written about one specific product really, really niche. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not many other people were writing about it. He was really honest, really straightforward, really trustworthy. And yeah, it doesn't need to be too complicated. It just needs to be something you know about.
Yeah, and I remember you saying also with review posts, you don't necessarily have to fill your blog with review posts because, like you say, they're not always the most, and you don't necessarily want to have them be on your front page or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they need to be, they should be things that people are coming to your site via Google can find.
Yeah.
So maybe people are coming straight to that site and they're, you know.
Yep. So when I write kind of boring reviews, I don't publish it to my RSS feed. So basically it doesn't automatically get emailed to anyone. It doesn't go on Bloglovin or Feedly. It doesn't automatically go on Twitter or onto Facebook or anything like that. It just kind of sits there on my blog.
I think that's a really clever, that's a really good idea. How do you do that? How do you actually, for people listening?
So there's a plugin. If you're on WordPress, there's a plugin called WordPress Hide Post. Mm-hmm. So when you publish something, you can select where you want it to be hidden. So if you don't want it on your homepage, you can hide it from your homepage. If you don't want it in your RSS feed, you can hide it from there. That kind of thing. There's a few other options. You can hide it from your categories if you want. And it's not really about hiding it. It's just not about like pushing it out to people.
Exactly. Because
let's say you wrote 10 hotel reviews in a row. No one's going to want to read 10 hotel reviews, especially if it's a destination they don't care about. But if you've got it on your blog and it's there ready and it's really well optimized for Google, you want people to be able to find it when they Google it.
That's a really good tip. And if you're on Squarespace, I don't know how you do that, but I promise I will Google it and find out and let you know.
I've seen your issues with Squarespace.
Oh, I don't think they'll be sponsoring the podcast.
Probably not. Yeah, but when you ask about when you've got low page views and how do you do it, and like I don't want to be discouraging at all, but I think if you do have low page views, I would just really put every single inch of, you know, all of your effort into boosting your page views and to get a bigger following and getting more posts on your blog, getting more Google traffic, just because when your page views are higher, everything's just so much easier.
It's easier, yeah. Exactly, yeah. I mean, like you say, there are ways that you can work around it, but why would you want to? Probably your efforts are better spent trying to get those reviews.
Yeah, I think because a lot of people start a blog and within 2-3 months they want to be earning money. But really, if you wait a year and just put every single bit of effort into getting those page views up, wait a year and then, it's just easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And particularly when it's your kind of part-time gig, if you want to make it full-time, then spend that year is better spent creating.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, one thing I talk about in the course is if you've got a full-time job, don't focus on making money from your blog at first. Enjoy the time when you don't need to worry about pleasing brands and, you know, writing sponsored content and, you know, doing things just for the advertising opportunities. Just be really authentic and just put everything into just creating awesome content and enjoy having a little bit of spare income maybe to invest back in your blog. So say if you earn £100 a month through your blog, invest it back in, you know, invest in new products and courses and, you know, cameras and lenses and all that kind of stuff. Put it back into your blog to make it even better.
That's how anyone would treat any business, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't expect to earn money from it.
Yeah, definitely. But that's the good thing about blogging, though, because you really don't need to invest anything.
It's true, yeah.
To actually start. I mean, most people have a laptop, most people have a camera. It's not a big investment to start, but I think, obviously, the more you start investing, the better things are going to get.
Yeah.
You don't see any, like, top bloggers shooting on, you know, crappy old cameras.
Yeah, or even all that on it. Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say that, but then you do see some. You do see some on their iPhones who do really well, but...
That's true, but I feel like those people are normally really incredible photographers.
Yeah, definitely,
like,
yeah.
Like, iPhones are incredible and you can do so much, but...
Yeah,
but a proper camera. Help. Yeah.
Yeah, a proper camera's always going to be better, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So where can everybody find you online and how can they start making money from their blogs using your amazing tips?
Okay, so everyone can find me at The Travel Hack. So The Travel Hack is my travel blog, and then I also have the Blogger Course, which isn't a very imaginative name, but yeah, it does what it says on the tin. So that's kind of like The course is for people who are kind of intermediate bloggers looking, you know, who might earn a little bit of money through their blog, but also have a full-time job. This is who I've aimed at. People who have a full-time job and don't have the time to invest in their blog to then take it full-time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a really tricky time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the blogger course. And my main tips for making money, number one, be a professional and put everything into everything you do, no matter how small it is. Don't ever think, oh, I'll just quickly do this, I'll just quickly whack up this sponsor post. Don't, you know, spend a lot of time, do it properly, and people will want to work with you again and again. Because when you get repeat business, that's what can kind of, you know, really impact your income. So yeah, treat things properly, try and get your page views up, because life gets so much easier when your page views are up. So really, I would write for Google. Really, don't I think a lot of bloggers invest a lot of time in social media, and social media doesn't necessarily drive that much traffic in comparison to Google. Yeah. But there's Pinterest as well, but you don't really need to spend a lot of time on Pinterest. You just need to create content that's Pinteresty, you know. Yeah.
And it's kind of, and doing and writing content for Pinterest, if you've written it for Google, you've kind of done the job for Pinterest as well, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you create a pinnable image that people will pin to Pinterest, then yeah, you've got that covered.
Yeah,
and I think always focus on the fact that you're a blogger. You're not a magazine, you're not a newspaper, you're an individual, and people want to read about you. And I think that's where bloggers have the advantage, because we're real people, and we can be the friend that people don't have, giving them advice. And I think that's the kind of tone everyone should try and keep. We're people, we're normal people, and keep that. And yeah, that's what people read blogs for.
Thank you so, so much. And also, that was a little bit of accidental alliteration. So it's professionalism, personality, page views. Boom.
Oh, boom. You've summed that up really nicely.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. If you liked this episode or any of the other episodes, then please think about leaving me a rating and a review on iTunes, because it really helps get the show out to other awesome creators like you, and it's a little bit of an ego boost for me too. If you want to connect with me, you can find me over on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, everywhere, at Wanderlooze Blog, or just head over to my blog, wanderlooze.com, which is also where you can find the show notes to every single episode too. I love hearing what you think about the show, if it's good, and I try to reply to each and every one of you. Thanks for listening, and come back again next week.